Hello, everybody. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteous and unrighteous have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be shepherds, saith the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my son and daughters. Say the Lord, Amen. Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contempts the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of receiving of God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die without you. I have spoke to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am grateful, encouraged in all our trouble. My joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicting on the outside, fears within, but God, who conformed the downcast, conformed us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about you longing for me, your deep sorrows, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful, as God intended, and so we're not harmed in any way but us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness to clear yourself. Indignation, what alarm, what longing, what sorrow, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have provided yourself to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong nor on the account of the injured party, but rather that before God you could see yourself how devoted to us you are. By all this we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you, we trust, so our boasting about you, Titus has provided to be true as well. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. Yeah.
Josh. Mic check. 212. Well, I'm Alex Coleman. For all, as y'all see up there, want to thank Josh for reading that. It's very difficult reading in public, especially when you're not used to doing it. I know this because I have a reader for me today. I won't be reading anything because I will stumble worse than that. But I rehearsed this lesson. I went over this lesson. I'm very passionate about it. Don't know what version y'all might get today. Hopefully the thoughts that I have in my mind that I feel like God has put on my heart comes out and it hits you in your heart and makes us convicted and we strive every day to do better and be closer to God. Before I get started, I think I'll lead in a prayer and we'll go from there. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity for you allowing me to be able to be a vessel and give your message out to the body. I pray that it's encouraging, that it's understanding, that even if I stumble, that it still gets to them, even if it's just one person that it reaches. I just thank you for your glory, for your son, and just thank you for your love. Pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. All right, let's see if I get this quicker. All right, so avoiding contamination and practicing repentance. Maybe not. Oh, Ed did tell me I gotta click it on. All right. So, going on. So here, contamination. What is contamination? Here's a couple definitions that I Googled that I felt like kind of fit what I want to look at. We got the act of preventing the spread of something, the policy, process, or result of preventing the expansion of a hostile power or ideology. The last one is kind of a science-y definition, but I still kind of like some of the words it used. The state of having unwanted impurities, such as the presence of unwanted organisms or substance having an impact on the biological sample or the environment. I pose the question, what is our environment supposed to be once we were baptized and we follow God? What is our environment is? How do we avoid things getting into our environment and contaminating us? Just a couple pictures. Most people know what contamination looks like and what it is. As you see, you have this ravine or river, stream, whatever you want to call it. I can go down a list of things. I'm an engineer, so I do deal with water. But this is not its natural environment for it to look like this. Same thing with this young gentleman here in the suit. As he's cleaning out the bad soils for what the soils are supposed to look like. It has been contaminated, and it is not, it's a natural environment. This gentleman here, I'll just leave this up for a while I talk. He's being cleaned as he came from working in a natural environment. So we have 2 Corinthians 6:14 is our main verse. But before, in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about letting as Josh has read, we are not to put stumbling blocks in anyone's way, but yet to be servants in Christ in every way. Just the context till we get down to verse 14. Then he goes on to list things that we how we should be servants. Verse in great endurance and trouble and hardship and distress and beating, imprisonment, and riots, and hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, and purity, and understanding, patience, and kindness, and the Holy Spirit, and sincere love, etc., etc., as which Josh just read, as you get down to verse 14. Then we get to verse 14, as he talked about in 2 Corinthians. And it states, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteous and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have in darkness? I phrase that, sorry for fumbling with this paper, I'm trying to follow that. I take that as, you know, you can replace yoke, and how I see it and what we're talking about today about avoiding contamination. Do not be contaminated by the unbelievers or the world. We can easily be contaminated by the world on how we're in it and we're doing God's work. So, the main question, are we able to avoid contamination? I think the answer is yes and no. I know that's very contradicting. I know it talks about in the Bible, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I'll try to explain myself. Hopefully, it gets there. As far as the yes, you know, I think with the yes, the answer being yes, you know, we can shield ourselves from a lot of things to avoid contamination, whether that's deleting media platforms, avoiding people, walking around with noise-canceling headphones on. I know sometimes I want to do it. Locking ourselves in our house and so on and so on. But going into the no, we are not called to do that. As we read before, we are called to be servants of Christ. Being servant of Christ means going into these contaminated areas and dealing with these contaminated things just like Christ did. But we have to know that we are not alone. We have God at our side at all times. We just have to be willing to ask God for help and advice. What could that look like? Prayer, meditation, reading God's word, etc. Whatever it might be, talking to your mentor, talking to a friend, your inner circle, people that are on the same path. The key is that doing that, that always leads you back to God. That way we can be steered wrong at all. We can't be steered wrong at all. So the answer to, so how are we able to avoid contamination? I say yes and no. And the reason I kind of say that, this is what I believe. I believe that we cannot avoid contamination, but we can avoid being contaminated. What I've come to realize in studying this is that this, which I knew before, but most of the lessons I do it as if I'm speaking to myself and preaching to myself. I'm not just preaching to y'all. I take this to heart because I really believe in this. You know, we live in a contaminated world, and we have to realize that. We can't avoid contamination, but you can avoid being affected by it. We can avoid the things that are thrown at us while we are doing God's work in this contaminated world. So, how can we avoid being contaminated? Well, I'll bring it to, this is how, the armor of God. I'm gonna have Akil read Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 for me.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
All right. So I bring that up to, let's see if I can go back here. Just like with this gentleman here, we are to go into this contaminated world and work. Why would we go without armor or the equipment you need to work in this area? I believe the armor of God is our equipment that we take for granted. We have to be willing to put this on every day, just like this gentleman here or the man in that picture over there. He has something on. He's just not out there in his normal clothes. So when should we wear this? All the time, I believe. I know it's easier said than done. We should wear this when we're going to sleep, when we're sleeping, when we wake up, when we're here, when we think we're in a safe place to talk with each other, because we live in a contaminated world and the devil does not sleep. He is waiting for any moment for us to take off our helmet because it's a little heavy and we want to rest our head, take off our shoes to rub our feet, that at that moment he can sweep in and he can sprinkle a little dirt on something that's supposed to be pure. Still looks clean from the outside, but that dirt will continue to grow and grow if we are not willing to get clean after we are contaminated. But this helps us avoid being contaminated. You know, would you choose to go into a contaminated area unprotected? No, I know I wouldn't. Once you found out you were in a contaminated area, just in case you didn't know, when you put on gear, I say you would. I believe it's very important. I believe the body armor of Christ is very important to us. Sometimes we take for granted, as I said before, the things that God has showed us or allowed us, and it can fall through the cracks. Just like the clothes I got on today. Sometimes I take for granted the clothes I have and the access to that everybody doesn't have access to. But we have to make effort to wear and put on the body armor of Christ to go and do God's work in this contaminated world or the world. Which once again ties back to the verse 14. We are not to be yoked with unbelievers, or you can say the world. But we are to go out and do his work. So the body armor of Christ, I believe, is a strong key to help us avoiding contamination. But as I stated before, if we do get contaminated, it's okay. But it's only okay if we are willing to get clean, like the gentleman you saw. I have Akil read chapter Ephesians, 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 7, verse 1. Tying that in.
Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God.
Purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body. That's what we're supposed to do. Got a good voice reading, by the way. So, what is one way to purify ourselves? I believe it's repentance. What does practicing repentance look like? I think the big key is having godly sorrow and not worldly sorrow as we do this. Going back to the analogy I was trying to make, when we have our armor on, we can still be contaminated just a little bit. It can be a little sprinkle, but if we're not willing to have sorrow about it and get it clean, it grows and grows until anything can happen. And then tying into verse 10, I think it's Josh read, Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Other things we can do in practicing repentance is have people in our lives that are willing to check us by God's will. I know I used the word check, it's a slang I grew up doing, but what I mean by that is somebody that holds you accountable. Somebody that's willing to hold you accountable by God's will. I have people in my life that do that. Two gentlemen in the back, I know Larry, I know Fernando. They'll always see if I'm doing something wrong. They'll come check me and let me know because we need people in our lives like that. I have Jared in my life that'll do it. I have a lot of people. But with that, and vice versa, we have to be willing to accept what is laid in front of us and take action on cutting the contaminated things or things out of our lives, willing to get clean. As it talks about in Matthew 5:30, you know, cut your right hand off, throw it away, just doing sin, because it is better, it's a paraphrase, don't let me misquote it, you know, it is better for us to throw that away instead of going into hell, pretty much kind of what it's saying. And this also ties into 2 Corinthians 7:11. I'll have Gil read that.
See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter.
So, we have to be willing to get clean and avoid contamination. Why? Because we are God's temple and he cannot dwell in us if it's a contaminated area. We can't be afraid to go out and do work in this world, contaminated world, which for the most part, I believe we're not. But while we're out there, we have to have the proper gear on while doing it. And don't be afraid if you do get contaminated, because to God, what we think is big and is so unacceptable is just a little dirt to him. He can clean it off real easy. And then got the last point up there. Hopefully this makes sense of how I'm trying to translate it. I feel like with repentance, when we're repenting, or just in general, like I said, I speak from experience, we can tend to do things of don't look for the line. How close can I get to, you know, doing something without it being a sin? How am I supposed to? Well, it doesn't really say anything about this in the Bible, but my conscience is telling me that it's kind of off, you know. We're not supposed to live like that. We're supposed to be so focused on God and so far away from the line that we don't even know it exists. And we have to praise God that he never gave us where the line is. Because it shouldn't matter. We should be so focused on him. I'm going to have an audio play from a guy. I took this from Ryan Fulton. Hopefully he says it a little better and you can understand kind of where I'm coming from with it.
Don't look for the line.
What do I mean by that?
Well, I've been asked a lot recently, Ryan, what do you mean? You say that there's progressive sanctification where we all stumble in many ways, and there's pattern sin. Where's the line? I don't know where the line is. I mean, I know some things that are over the line. I know that. There are some things that are clearly pattern sin. I know some things that are over the line. I know some things that are just stumbling in many ways. Where exactly, Ryan, is the line? Where the line is. And praise God, Scripture never gave us the line. You do not want to be as close to the line as you can. You want to be way over here. Okay, so there's like the couple, like they're not married, they're in the back seat of the car, they're going like, well, how far can we go? Like, what's allowed there? Get out of the car. It'll all be okay outside of the car. We should be making every effort to add every bit of grace to our lives. We should be looking to Him, adding the knowledge of Him to our lives, pursuing godliness, and by God, and I mean that with all reverence, by God, we will grow in assurance that we are saved. We will not grow in assurance by always asking, can I keep 1 foot close to the line?
Oh.
Don't look for the line.
Go to the next one. As I wrap it up. But to talk about that, I just, for some reason, I wanted to say this. So I heard that 7-9 years ago on a Christian rap album that stuck with me for this long as I was doing that. Just, this is just free of charge. You never know what God might be showing you or giving you something to use later in life to speak His words from anything that you're doing or listening to. I just thought I would like to say that because it was quite amazing to me as I was doing this lesson. I mean, that instantly popped in my head, and I hadn't listened to that in a long time, but it stuck with me because it hit me once I heard it. I was living that life of how close, you know, especially coming from not being a Christian, how close can I get to not really, you know, crossing the line? The line should not exist. So in closing, avoiding contamination and practicing repentance, I believe Paul's letter that he wrote to the Corinthians was telling us we need to make every effort in practicing repentance and avoiding contamination by being godly. What do I mean by being godly? As you see on the screen, I'll have a kid. Did I give you 2 Peter? I'll have a kid read that.
His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
It states, this is how for us to be godly. It's His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. How? Through the knowledge of Him. We don't need special circumstances. We don't need to go come to church every day or be at the church every day. We don't need to do this. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do anything special but to get to know God. And I believe this is a cornerstone or a key in practicing repentance and avoiding contamination. His power, the armor of God, is His power that He has given us just because of our knowledge of Him, because we know God. He's given us these tools to go out into the contaminated world. It's not the armor that makes it special. It's who made it. And it's His power that makes the armor special to anybody else as we're out in this contaminated world to avoid contamination. But God knew we are human and that we might get contaminated. He has given us a way, which is repentance, for us to be clean, for us to be clean by Him, as it's marked down there, having escaped the corruption, or you can say being corrupted in the world by the evil desires. Through the knowledge, through God's power and the acknowledgement of Him, we have escaped being corrupted. We have escaped being contaminated. I said we can get contaminated, but He takes it away so easy. We have to be willing to come to Him. So let's make every effort on avoiding contamination and practicing repentance by being godly. How? Through the knowledge of Him. I have one more audio clip to play. And once again, it's from the same guy, the Ryan. Once again, these two tracks just stuck in my mind. And hopefully he brings it home on how I feel about the situation.
Look at verses 3 and 4. He starts off by saying, His divine power granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What he's telling us is that God's power, the power that made this world, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, this power has moved into your life and granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Paraphrase. Everything you need to be godly, God gave you by his power. How? Through the knowledge of him. Now this is an amazing thing. What this means is that the main thing we need to be godly is to know God. You don't need different circumstances in your life in order to grow in godliness. You don't need new family or new people in your life in order to grow in godliness. You don't need new roommates to grow in godliness. You don't need a new personality to grow in godliness. You don't need a new past. What you need is you need to know God. You see that? He says, he has given us everything for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Look at verse 2. Peter says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. How do you get more grace and more peace? How do you live a godly life? You live a godly life by knowing God. The reason people don't live godly lives is because they don't know God. Romans chapter 1 has this list of totally immoral things that people do. Gossip, hating their parents, all kinds of sexual immorality. And he says, well, why did this happen? Because they did not see fit to honor God. They rejected the knowledge of God. They suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. And when you put down God as an idea, when you cover up God as a person, when you destroy the knowledge of God, you're always going to get ungodly lives. As sure as day follows night. But when someone comes to know God, you will always get a godly life. Because knowing God changes you. And what Peter is here telling us is that we got everything we need for life and godliness because we know him. He has lit up our hearts. He's given us a new birth, and now we see him as beautiful. Before you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Once you're born again, the very things that look foolish to the world, the cross, a dying Savior, all of a sudden become the most attractive things to you in the world.
So, if you don't get anything out of it,
look at verses 3 and 4. He starts off by saying, his divine power granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What he's telling us is that God's power, the power that made this world, the power that raised...
2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. And one way for us to know that God feels this way is for us to live a godly life and be godly just by knowing him. So, for anyone that hasn't been living or wants to live a godly life, our elders will be up here as we sing. If you know you've been living a godly life and you just have a little dirt, it's time to get clean. We all need cleaning, and I'm speaking for myself. As we stand and sing, our elders will be up here, and thank y'all for allowing me to get this message.